And back to the election outcome now, and one of the first world leaders to call President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory was Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The two men have been political allies in the past, so what impact will a Trump return to the White House have on Israel's wars in Gaza and in Lebanon? Professor Yossi Mecklenburg is Associate Fellow on the Middle East and North Africa with the Chatham House Institute, and he's on the line. Professor Mecklenburg, Benjamin Netanyahu saying on X that Donald Trump had made history's greatest comeback, and according to the readout of the call, it was warm and cordial. How close are they?
Good morning. Well, they used to be very close. However, President-elect Trump was very critical of Netanyahu for accepting the 2020 elections that, of course, Trump contested and still contesting. And he was angry with him, and we know that President Trump can be very vindictive. And it's the, you know, news after 2020, he was upset with Netanyahu. At the same time, Netanyahu called him the greatest friend of Israel. And we need to remember it was Trump that moved the American embassy, the U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem. He's the one that recognized the occupation of the Golan Heights, as you know, Israeli sovereignty there. And also during this time, the Abraham Accord were brokered. So the question is where this leads from here.
It's no secret that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't get on with Joe Biden. What does he want from Donald Trump as president in the White House that he didn't get from Joe Biden?
I think what Netanyahu is looking for is someone to support his survival in power in Israel. Biden at one point, you know, throughout the war since October 7th, supported Israel through thin and thick, and probably to some extent it also cost Kamala Harris the presidency, but he was also critical of Netanyahu. The question of whether Trump is going to do what he said, he wants quick end to wars, and we know that Trump thinks that he can solve almost every war in 24 hours, which is a bit unrealistic. Can he do something about Gaza, Lebanon, and also possibly stop escalation with Iran? What Netanyahu is expecting from Trump is that, you know, he will give him the full backing to do so. Bear in mind that also Trump is not that concerned with, for instance, Netanyahu corruption trial. He has his own legal issues to deal in the United States.
The Trump relationship with the Saudi Arabians was a key part of his first term. How significant do you think that's likely to be in a second term? And how much could the Saudis cooperate, given what is actually happening in Gaza and in Lebanon?
I think those are crucial relations between the Trump administration, Trump himself in Saudi Arabia. And when the talk in town was before October 7 about normalization between Israel and Saudi Arabia, the question is now if part of a bigger move in the region of ending the war in Gaza, talking about resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and then bring back the Saudis on board as normalization is the big bait for Israel in a bigger move of ending the war. Whether it's possible, I doubt it at this moment.
And Joe Biden, is he effectively a lame duck now? Is there anything he can do in terms of trying to achieve a truce, more humanitarian aid in the next 2 months?
I think actually he has the freedom more than a lame duck. He has two months plus actually to execute exactly the policies that he wants. He has no commitment to help Trump, and for Harris it's not an issue anymore. So if he wants actually to push towards a ceasefire, the release of the hostages, imposing more sanctions on violent settlers, dealing with supplying certain ammunition that he thinks exacerbate the situation, I think, and other range of issues, I think this is an opportunity free of election.
Professor Yossi Meckelberg from the Chatham House Institute, thank you.